Barbershop Conversations is a sneak peek into the conversations that men have in private. What happens in a barbershop usually stays in a barbershop until now. Barbershop Conversations, where nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is off limits, except maybe cursing, but that's about it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Barbershop Conversations. I'm your gracious host, Joe Paul. Thank you so much for checking us out. Sincerely appreciated. Let's stay connected. You can connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at Joe Paul Speaks. I also want to invite you to participate in our highly controversial hashtag answers discussions that occur Monday through Friday, starting at noon Eastern Standard Time. We talk about every single subject under the sun. Nothing's off limits. It's kind of like Barbershop Conversation, but everyone's invited. Simply log on to facebook.com/Mr. Joe Paul to join the conversation. We'll certainly be waiting for you. Joining me in the studio, as always, is my brother from another mother, the reasonable bachelor himself, Mr. Jackson Bracey. Jackson, what's cracking?
All right. Thanks a lot for having me, Joe. I'm always delighted to be here. The people can connect with me on Twitter at Jackson Bracey. You can find me under the name of Jackson Bracey on Facebook as well. Or if you want to just read some of my old postings, you can catch me at The Reasonable Bachelor or at Jackson Bracey on Twitter.
Boom. Just like that. Folks, I also want to take this opportunity to welcome the beautiful and multi-talented Renaissance woman who I have the pleasure of calling my friend, Miss R.K. Evans. R.K. is an author, spoken word recording artist, activist from St. Louis. She's actually been to the moon twice, and she's found a cure for cancer, I believe. R.K., welcome to the conversation, young lady.
Hey, yeah, still working on that other cure. Yeah, you know, I'm always at something, right? Thanks for having me tonight.
My pleasure. So tell the people, you know, how they can connect with you, what you have going on before we get started.
Absolutely. You can connect with me on Twitter at RK Evans. You can also connect with me on Facebook, RK Evans there, or you can check out my books at rkevans.com.
Just like that. So, folks, this is going to be a different twist to how we typically do Barbershop Conversations. Each episode, we'll welcome a special guest, like we have Ms. R.K. Evans, who will share their valuable thoughts and opinions about the topics that we have at hand while they navigate us through the conversation. In this instance, we welcome R.K., who will be posing questions to myself and Jackson in a rapid-fire manner, which we'll discuss shortly. And of course, if Jackson and I agree or disagree, or RK agree or disagree, you know, we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. The only thing we're not going to do is curse. And if one slips out, it's okay. I think we've heard worse. So, y'all ready to get the conversation started?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. So, RK, go ahead. Fire off your first question. Let's get this thing going.
All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about what makes a woman sexy. What makes a woman sexy to you?
Okay. All right. You want me to start, Jackson, and then I'll toss it over to you?
Yeah, you go ahead first, Joe. You go ahead first.
Okay. Yeah, this is hard. I didn't really give this any thought. Let's see. What makes a woman sexy? I think, for me, what makes a woman sexy is her mind, the way she thinks. You know, I really love a woman who can reason and use logic and don't automatically think with her feelings. You know what I'm saying? She makes good decisions, smart decisions. So, you know, what else makes a woman sexy to me besides what I could, you know, just by looking at her? You know, eyes are sexy. I mean, I think you can tell a lot, and women send a lot of messages through their eyes, at least I believe. RK, tell me if I'm wrong. You know, if y'all want us to talk to you and you're sitting across from us in a bar or lounge, you'll try to invite us with your eyes, right? You're not going to throw your hands in the air and be like, hey, come here, you in the blue shirt, right? I mean, you'll hint with your eyes. So what else makes a woman sexy? And Jackson, this is giving you too much time to prepare a knock it out the park response, which is going to suck. But I'm going to co-sign whatever Jackson says as well. So go ahead, Jackson.
Well, listen, look, I'm a simple man with simple desires overall, but, you know, with some sharp complexities where needed. But this one, I don't need those sharp complexities because basically nice breasts and an ample ass are things that I most immediately see in a woman that makes her sexy. Okay, mm-hmm. I think that we can all point to other things that make a woman very enticing and that are very admirable about her, especially the things that Joe mentioned about her mind and her ability to reason through things and not immediately jumping to emotional responses. that can certainly be a turnoff when you deal with women like that. But as any man will tell you, you know, the physical is most paramount in that kind of design. I mean, I think that one of the things, and I think Joe and I have talked about this frequently, and so has AJ, I think that women sometimes, you know, like, confuse the definition of what sexy is.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy and beautiful are not the same thing. Sexy is a term that is described, that is used to describe you doing something or creating something that is designed to create a sexual or elicit a sexual response. So, you know, if you get half naked, I'm going to be sexually aroused. It's not going to make you beautiful. You know, my mother is beautiful. You know, acts of kindness are beautiful. You know, poetry and paintings are beautiful. But when a woman gets half naked, that's sexy. And there's a total difference. You know,
or even fully naked. It don't have to be just half. It can be full.
That was downright poetic in itself. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And Jackson, I'm glad I gave you the notes from earlier to read that. Good job. Good job.
I appreciate that.
Hey, I do what I can, brother.
Hey, man, I do what I can. Look, you sure do look out for me, brother. I sure do appreciate it.
Absolutely. But, you know, I will co-sign, though. I mean, one thing that I'm definitely attracted to is a woman's behind. I mean, that's just like, my goodness, that's sexy to me. You know, I am a behind man. And don't get me wrong, you know, I like all parts of the chicken. You know, the breast, the thighs, the wings, the legs, you know. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely a butt man. But go ahead, RK, you have the floor. Next
that's
question.
That's great. Because you all know we got to keep it 100 here, right? So
yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Great.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. Okay. So if you see this sexy, beautiful woman or whatever, how should a woman ask?
Oh, yeah. This is great. Jackson, you go first.
Directly.
Okay.
Directly.
That's how she should ask me out directly. Like, hey, how you doing? My name is Sheila. Nice to meet you. Can we exchange numbers? Maybe we can go out sometimes. See, I think that women don't face the same dilemma that men face in terms of, you know, rejection. Because even if a man does reject a woman, he won't do it in the same way that women reject men. Women, in my experience, women, you know, women can be downright nasty in the way that they deflect attention from a man if they so choose. Because I think on some level it makes them feel a little bit powerful. Men don't feel powerful telling a woman, no, thank you, I have a girlfriend, or no, thank you, I'm not interested. Because typically we won't even say that. Typically, unless a man has a girlfriend, he's not going to tell another woman no. He would sooner accept her advances and just let it pan out how it pans out, whether it be a physical relationship, a serious relationship, or just a friendship.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Jackson. You know, for me, let me tell you how a woman asked me out one time, and I thought this was just the sexiest thing ever. She just straight up and came at me and said it. You know, she said, hey, you know what? I think we should definitely get together sometime. Here's my number. Let me know when you're free, and, you know, I'd love to connect with you. I was like, well, hell yeah. I'm going to call you. You know what I mean? I mean, I admire that. I admire a woman who has the chutzpah, you know, to approach a man and risk the possibility of getting rejected. Now, here's the thing. Women obviously should know, at least, ladies, if you're approaching a man, believe me, the chances of him saying, hell yeah, is pretty high. Because, you know, it typically doesn't happen. We're usually the ones who risk rejection when we're approaching a woman. And we know that it's a 50-50 chance that you may or may not be interested, or you may or may not give us the number. But either way, we know we just have to go on to the next one. So just like Jackson was saying, it's a lot easier for us to handle rejection than it is for women. And, you know, women, when y'all rejecting us, RK, you know, y'all say just the nastiest things. I remember one time, seriously, y'all say the nastiest thing. Me and the homies, we were in New York one time, and one of my boys was trying to get at this one girl, one woman, one lady, girl, I don't know what y'all call it, one female species. You know, yeah, you don't want to say the wrong thing. But anyways, yeah, so he was trying to get at this one girl, and she wasn't interested. This was clear by her comment. She's like, man, you better get out of my face with that dirty ass orange sweater. I was like, oh my God. Jeez. Like, I felt like and his shirt was, and I looked at the sweater too, and it wasn't that dirty. I mean, it was a smudge on there, but it
that's
wasn't
just,
like
that's just totally
dirty.
Uncalled for, man. But again, I say to you that she felt powerful in being able to do that. That makes her feel a way. You know, she's not.
But
you know,
that's borderline uncivilized. You know, really,
it is.
Borderline
it very much is. It very
it's
much
hilarious,
is. But at the same time, women generally, in my experience, they feel powerful to be able to, like give you the, like, you really think you can be over here talking to me? Like, even in cases where, like, yes, sweetie, I do feel like I should be over here talking to you, you know? Like, I don't know who you think you are that I would not be able to come over here talking to you.
Real talk.
But a little food for thought, though. I just want to add a little food for thought on this. Do you think that maybe some of those rejections are so nasty because of the way the men are approaching them?
I have a total understanding of that, RK, if a man was, if the instances that we were referring to were situations where, like, hey, girl, damn your ass fat. Like, what's up with you? Like, that type of stuff. I totally understand if you get the brush off you. But if a guy walks up to you and says, hey, how you doing, or tries to say something witty, and you give him, like, this stone face, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're talking to me. Like, what do you want, drugs?
Yeah, seriously. Like, come on, lady. Like, lighten up here. You know, yeah, no, I'm with you on that, man. I'm absolutely with you on that. All right, okay, next question.
Okay, all right, now see, that's great. That leads me into my next question because, you know, ladies want to keep it fun, too. Let's say we get past those hurdles. We want to keep it fun, too, and sometimes we as women can be a little heavy. How can you help us lighten up?
Okay, how can we help y'all lighten up? You know, I tell you, laugh at everything that I say. Laugh at all my jokes. You know, that's one way to do it. No, how
okay,
you know,
well,
the way
start, Joe. Good start.
It is, right? It is a good start. Laugh at all my jokes. Even if you don't understand it or think it's funny, you know, I think that the best way to lighten up is really not to take everything so seriously. I've dated women who are just planners. They love to plan every detail of the damn day, right? And that's just really, that's unnerving to me because I'm not a planner like that. I'll plan because I have to, right? I have to be organized for, I'm involved in so many things. However, I don't need to plan like that, right? And so, that's one of the things that is tough for me. Women who just overly plan and don't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Control mechanism, I think. Like, what's wrong with you, man? It's Monday. I said we're going out on Saturday. Don't start bugging me on Wednesday, so where are we going? Sweetie, like, it's like, what the hell?
Chill out.
She really wants to go and look on Yelp to see what the reviews are for the place that you're going.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Can we just have a nice time without all this?
Yeah, yeah. Just don't take yourself
so
seriously. Yeah, don't take yourself
so
seriously.
Or so personally.
Yeah,
I think that we take things very personally sometimes.
For sure. Well, because y'all don't understand what we say. Like, we made a joke about this a few shows ago where one of my colleagues came in and she had a really nice dress on, you know. And so I was like, wow, you know, you look really nice today. That's a nice dress. It's like, wow, so I looked like crap yesterday? I was like, what? I don't think I understand. What just happened? You know, but you're laughing, RK, because you know exactly, you know, why y'all would say something like that, which I had to ask him, like, well, why would you say something like that? You know, and so she's like, well, you know, you didn't tell me I looked fine yesterday, you know, and I had a nice dress on yesterday. I was like, well, I just noticed today. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I didn't like your dress yesterday, man. Maybe it looked kind of mundane. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Like, Jesus.
Maybe
come
I was
on,
making up the compliment. Maybe I was lying. Maybe I was trying to make small talk.
Yeah, maybe I was lying. Maybe you look like atrocious today. Maybe you look atrocious today. I'm kind of wondering.
Absolutely. Really. Maybe I'm just trying to lift your spirits. And, you know, I know nobody else will tell you that dress is nice. So accept my compliment. But,
overanalyzation.
Well, that's what y'all be doing. You know, we just tell you automatically, like, that's a nice dress. That's all we mean. We don't mean anything else. We don't mean you should continue to wear that dress every day. We don't mean that it's worse or better than any other dresses you've ever worn. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that we like dresses more than jeans, right? All it means is that we like that dress. Like, literally, when men speak, take our comments literally, because we're not trying to hide behind anything or tell you, you know, hey, you know, the sky is gray and it's, you know, not falling down the blue river. And you're like, what? What does that even mean? Right, we tell you exactly what we mean.
So then what do men... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. Please first.
Okay. So then what do men fear most about commitment?
Oh, my God. Being with the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? Good Lord. I mean, you know, and
being
I think...
Being stuck for the rest of my life with somebody who I have to... Listen, being stuck with somebody for the rest of my life who I have to lighten them up. Like, just to respond to your previous question, like... When you said, how can you help us lighten up? I don't really think that's my job. You come situation and I realize you're uptight, then, you know, it's not my job to work through your daddy issues or your hard job or the fact that you don't feel beautiful today. I don't really want to do that, man. Like, I have to believe that in this world there's an easier circumstance for me and somebody who's not that difficult to please off the top.
Yeah.
So that kind of plays into the whole dynamic that we're talking about with, you know, commitment. It's not an issue. Men don't have commitment issues. We have commitment issues with the wrong woman.
Yeah.
That's what we have. We, you know, women look at marriage.
I think it's a little bit more than that, because that's what women have. Women have commitment issues with the wrong man. And
I can't tell, RK, because a lot of y'all picking the wrong guy. Everybody
over and over.
Over and over. A lot of ladies pick the wrong guy. Over and over. Like, if you have to chase a guy and manipulate a situation and trap him into, like,
that's
kind
the
of
wrong
force,
guy.
You know, like, this, like, if you have to guilt trip a guy into wanting to be with you, then, sweetie, that's not the right man for you.
You ain't lying.
That's right.
And I would think that
that's
you wouldn't feel entirely comfortable with that, but that happens a lot. Like,
fear-based relationships.
Listen, I just don't understand how you can feel comfortable or happy with a woman that you've had to guilt trip, a man that you've had to guilt trip into being with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think the happiness comes from just having a man. You know what I'm saying? I think some people just want somebody there. You know, I mean, some people will put up with anything just to have a warm body next to them. You know, I mean, a lot of people put up with a lot worse. Believe me. You know, I hear the story.
Sure.
I hear the story.
Yeah, those are.
Fear-based
relationships. Doomed.
They absolutely are. And I was going to tell you about the fear and commitment thing, because that's very real for a lot of guys. I mean, I think that's why you're seeing a lot of men kind of waiting longer and longer to get married and make this lifelong commitment, is because, you know, number one, we don't want to be with the wrong person. But what I mean by that is, initially, you won't know if that's the wrong person, right? You may figure this out 6 years down the road. And it may just be too late, right? So you want to be able to evaluate this person as much as you can and build a strong friendship, build a strong foundation based on friendship, and see if this person is there for the long haul, you know. And another thing, too, is I think after it takes a while for a guy to get over the idea of, and maybe it's not just guys, I think this might be for women as well, but to get over the idea of, you know, I know I'm with this person today, but someone better may come tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so you start sitting there thinking, like, well, I'm going to stay committed probably 80%, but 20% is going to be open to the better that may come. And I think that that fear and commitment comes with the idea that, you know, maybe there's something better out there. And I think that if we all just say, well, just, you know, work with what you got and like who likes you, the world will be a better place. You know, the world will be a better place.
I agree with that.
So those are my comments.
I wanted to address Jackson, because you were saying how when I asked you the question about, you know, what can you do to help us lighten up, that sounded like, you know, such a huge hassle. And I can get that. I get that. But, you know, in a long-term relationship, don't you think that you will eventually run across a situation where somebody got to lighten somebody up? You know,
certainly in a long-term relationship. But if I'm meeting you and off the approach, like, we're within the first couple of encounters and I have to try to cheer you up and lift your spirits, I'm not invested enough in who you are to
do
that.
Okay.
You know, like, it's, I mean, relationships go in ebbs and flows. You don't always love each other. But if you're friends, you work through scenarios. I totally believe that. But if I have to, like, approach a woman who is a stick in the mud, and it's my responsibility to not make her be
to
a
cheer
stick,
her
in the
up.
Mud, stick in the mud and cheer her up, like, what do you want, suicide? Why does this ain't my job?
Yeah. That's not a good relationship. That's a bad situation, too. If you have to be the court jester for somebody, like, who wants to be the person to cheer you up? I mean, who wants to be around someone who's always negative? Like, I dated somebody like that. Oh, God. I mean, just always negative about everything. Everything was negative. Everything was wrong. You know, you got a flat tire. Oh, God, it's just the devil just trying to make sure I don't have this job no more. Like, what? Well, maybe it was just a nail in the street. I don't know. Maybe it was those tires that you haven't changed in 2 years. I don't know, you know. But, yeah, cheer up. You know, you don't want to be with nobody like that, man. Seriously, I co-sign that, Jackson. If you're in a situation where you have to cheer up the person, then come on. That gets, you know, you get something that's really, this is a true term, it's called compassion fatigue. Right? After a while, you start thinking like, man, I can't deal with this, man. And then you stop feeling compassion for this person who's feeling bad. You know, you start becoming numb. So you don't want to be in that situation. Go ahead.
Then you turn into a prized sociopath. And we've got enough of those in the world, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, let me ask you a question really quickly as we talk about this. It's my personal experience that there are an increasing number of just miserable women, like insufferable personalities, like they're just unhappy. Do you find that to be, I mean, obviously I don't know what your experience is, but do you find that to be a similar sort of occurrence with gentlemen?
I do see that, but I kind of see it as a symptom of expectation. I don't think that people's efforts often equal their expectations, and then they get really just disgruntled from that, and you know they don't realize they're completely out of balance. It's very frustrating, and then they go on and continue to frustrate themselves by not equating effort and opportunity, or you know effort and expectation. You've got these huge expectations. I'm 15. I want to be Jay-Z in 5 years. You know that kind of stuff. You know,
right.
I hear people in their 30s still thinking this way. And,
no, it's okay to dream now. Don't down a brother for dreaming now. I mean, I think I'll say this. I think after you get to a certain age, you're gonna have to just let go of the dreams, right? I think that age is 18, right? For some people, I think it depends on what the dream is. If your dream is to be a rapper, I think at the age of 18, make a decision right then and there, right? And if it's not gonna work out, then at 19, you need to be in somebody's college learning something, right? And now, if you are 5'2", and you have a dream of once playing in the NBA, I think that you got to reevaluate your dreams, right? Because those dreams don't make any sense. But so anyhow, I think I lost my train of thought there.
That's really going along the lines of what I was saying, because, you know, it's got a lot to do, I think, with people's goals and their expectations and a lot of disappointment. I think a lot of people are going through huge disappointment right now and, you know, for a lot of factors.
I totally understand that. Let me ask Joe a question that's going to kind of offset the great point that you made about expectations. Joe, have you ever met a woman with fulfilled expectations?
No.
Yeah, neither have I. I never in my life have, and I think that becomes a problem for men. Like, you know, I had a guy tell me something when I was maybe about 21 years old. He was an older gentleman, and we were just casual conversation, and he told me, you know what, no matter what you do for a woman, it ain't gonna never be enough. And I looked at him like he was crazy. I looked at him like, what are you talking about? Like I thought he was some bitter old man and making these kind of commentaries. But as I got older, it became more and more evident to me that there was a lot of truth in what he said. Literally, I know so many young ladies who have so much to be pleased by, but there is like zero level of contentment in just about anything that they have or that they do. And it's
they just want more.
Like, or not even want more. They just don't know what they want. You have to almost guide
them.
So that's not what you want. This is what you want. This is what it's going to be. And you know, and as a guy, some guys are built for that type of, you know, get push and pull with ladies all the time. But other times you just, I don't feel like always having to walk you through these whims.
Yeah.
No, it's about being, everybody has to get, I believe that everyone, women, men, everyone has to get to a point in their life where they're willing to be responsible, 100% responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
Because along with that, my belief is that if you're going to be in a relationship, that relationship should either inspire or empower or motivate, or it should kick rocks. I don't know how what you gentlemen feel about that. What do you think?
Definitely.
I don't meet a lot of ladies that have 100% accountability for whatever happens in their life. That sounds bad to verbalize, but I'm 100% being truthful. On one level or another, there's always something that is not my fault. I didn't do that, and I can't believe this happened to me. And it goes back to that old saying that, you know, it's hard to find a lady that fully accepts the idea of accountability and reasoning, and as opposed to, you know, lack of accountability and emotion.
You know, you're on something
there. Yeah, that there's a concept that escapes people altogether lately to me, and that is the concept of contentment. You know, there's always these just growling expectations and these hungry desires and these, you know, wild things. And, I mean, no short-term stuff, no baby steps, just puddle jumps. And, you know, it makes life, I think, a little bit chaotic. And, you know, who needs more of that?
Yeah. No, real talk. I mean, I think set expectations and fill them or move on or be by yourself. You know, stop ruining people's lives. You know, just be by yourself. Be unhappy alone instead of dragging people down with you. I mean,
you're right. I totally agree with that, because now you're just creating more misery. I have a friend of mine. She's recently had a baby. Things did not work out with the gentleman that she was dating.
Surprise.
No shocker there.
Yeah.
But it's like she had the baby of her own free will and desire. The baby's 3 months and she's already talking about how, you know, hard this is and I shouldn't have to be doing all this. Like, what? You want a baby, you had a baby, so now that you have a baby, you're complaining about having a baby. Even if that were my thought process, I would shut my mouth for the sake of not looking foolish and not having any control over myself. Because I asked for this.
Mm-hmm. Did the dude tell her that he didn't want to have the baby?
No, he wanted to have the baby. He wanted to have the baby. But part of, you know, and I would never get too deep into her business. She's a friend of mine. But part of the dilemma that she's had with this gentleman is that as soon as she got pregnant, which was very, very early in their dating relationship, she immediately had all of these expectations upon him and who he should
be. Like, this is now my husband.
Right, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know him well enough to know what his expectations were. So when he was not being who she thought he should be, she, you know, just couldn't, you know, shut up with her complaints.
See, there
she knew.
No baby steps. Just puddle jumping and mountain climbing. That was no baby steps involved there at all. Very early in the dating relationship.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was really a situation where I think they may have dated for about 6 or 7 weeks and she became pregnant.
Yeah.
Which was a terrible time frame. You don't even know this gentleman. Okay?
Yeah.
But he's a very affable personality and he was very welcoming of the idea of being a parent and not only being a parent, but working on establishing a family dynamic with her. It was always something, Joe. It was, I don't like how he mingles his finances. He doesn't have a great savings. Well, hey. I don't like how he feels about private school versus public school. Listen, hey, man, if you wanted to plan all that out, maybe you should not have become pregnant in such an early stage.
Real talk.
Yeah, that's a big decision to make without having any connection really with the truth of who that person is. That's having a baby with a virtual stranger. You don't have any idea if you trust them, if you want to trust them, if they trust you, if they'll be a parent like you'll be a parent. There's zero knowledge there.
Yeah,
zero connection.
That's cause for disaster. It doesn't
make any
sense.
But just as importantly, RK, like you want to be flexible. You want to be flexible. You know, if you realize you're in a position where things have not worked out, where you had this ultimate, period of time where you could train each other and learn each other and get accustomed to what the other one thinks, at least try to be flexible through the process that you're going through now. Because there is no turning back.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that people need to spend more time getting to know each other before you even think about procreating with somebody. Because, you know, and a lot of times, your friend Jackson, I believe that she knew exactly who the type of guy that she was dealing with. She knew ahead of time, but she had in her mind an idea of who this guy should be. Right. And so she created this person who doesn't exist. And so when he finally proved to her who she already knew he was, now this is where she has that conflict because he's not meeting those expectations. But had she spent and he had they spent time really getting to know each other before you even start raw dogging, like, what? Who does that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, in 6 weeks at that? I mean, do your test results come back before, in time to even raw dog? Gee.
Yeah,
right.
Let me tell you what I don't believe. I do not believe that ladies over the age of, like, 26, 27 get pregnant on accident. I 100% do not believe that.
No, it's on purpose.
I don't think that happens at all. I think that in the back of her mind, I think a woman's biological clock and a man's biological clock, I think these are real things. I think that they guide you in an unconscious way, in a subconscious way, even when you are consciously saying that I do not want to see this happen. Oh, by the way, I'm all of a sudden at 33, 34, allowing myself to get caught up in the heat of the moment when I never used to let that happen when I was younger.
Yeah, you throw caution to the wind, especially when you have the idea that, you know, I'm getting to a point where I need to have some kids. You know, I'm tired of my mama asking me, I'm tired of my grandma asking me, I'm tired of my friends who have kids asking me. You know, so I need to get to a point where I have some kids. So I'm going to start being a little more reckless and less careful. Just like when people are thinking about partners. Like when you're 20 and 23 years old, the list that you have for a potential mate is astronomical. It's ridiculous, right? But as you get older and wiser, your list goes down to, well, God, I just want him to be able to breathe and have his teeth. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hopefully he can walk, Lord. You know what I'm saying? So you start being more realistic with your expectations. So I think we beat this one to the ground. What else you got for us, RK?
Okay. All right. Are either of you a member of the Tea Party? No, seriously. How
Hell
important
no.
is political affiliation to you?
Political affiliation? To me, I don't care. I mean, as far as in a woman?
Yes, when it comes to women.
I don't care. I mean, as long as you vote, you know, I don't really care. You don't have to be, like, out there, you know, rallying and stuff like that. That would be a little extra. Unless I'm the candidate, yes, I expect you to be waving signs and knocking on doors. However, political affiliation, we probably won't talk about politics in my house. I mean, I don't know why, unless we're kind of Frank and Claire Underwood. Shout out to the people who know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? That's a different story, a different dynamic, and we would have established that ahead of time. But as far as party affiliation, I know I wouldn't mess with somebody who was part of the Tea Party. I know I wouldn't marry someone who's I think that's probably the only one. Tea Party, and that's it, you know. But other than that, I think everything else is fair. If she just has sense, then we're good. You know, that's pretty much it for me. What about you, Jackson?
Political party affiliation is entirely unimportant to me. I've always voted Democrat, and I'm only registered as a Democrat, so it allows me to vote in the primaries. But I'm not so married to a mascot and the faces that they prop up in front of us to where I vote blindly. Mm-hmm. That being said, if we don't have similar political perspectives on a lot of things or on enough things, then no, that I definitely would be bothered by a young lady who was dating me and told me that you know, she wanted to investigate how she could support Alan West. Like, I just wouldn't be pleased with that. I mean, you know, because and I don't really consider that to be so much of a politics issue as much as I deem it as being a similar moral compass and outlook on the world. If you're one of these people that believes that poor people are exclusively poor because they want to be poor and they're too lazy
to work. They chose
it. Yeah, they chose it.
Yeah, right. We can't go together.
Yeah, we can't go together.
Yeah. Real talk. What else you got for us, RK?
All right. Gentlemen, do you ever or have you ever faked an orgasm?
Say that again. Jackson.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Do men fake orgasms?
Jackson.
Do men fake orgasms?
I have not faked it, but I have just like gotten tired and stopped.
I have definitely faked it, yes. I have faked it before. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not. Because you know what? Women do it all the time, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, dudes like, hey, did you come? Yeah, baby, I did. And in the back of her mind, like, this fool ain't do a damn thing. You know, so I know. I get it. But yeah, I have before. I don't. I'm very selective with who I copulate with. So that doesn't happen as frequent. But yeah, I have, you know, because I just wanted to get it over with. And so, yeah, I acted like I did. And that was it. Next question.
I was just tired a couple times. I didn't make no big deal out of it. She asked. I said, no, man, I'm tired. And I just reached over and let her know, I don't care, man. Like, at this point, I'm tired. I'm not.
Absolutely.
You know, but I think that, let me say this. I think it's always to a woman's detriment when she fakes it. Like, sweetie, don't fake it. Unless, I mean, I guess I can see where you might fake it if you're, again, just tired and want to be done and he's just trying to help save you. You might be better served just saying that you're tired. But if you're one of these young ladies who you're not physically able to connect easily with your partner, if he's not pleasing you, you don't do yourself any favors by, you know, having him have that moment that all guys have when we get up and walk in the bathroom and we look at ourselves in the mirror. Like, you don't do yourself any favors.
Real talk.
You might as well say, like, hey, like, that's not working. Let's try this. You know,
true that.
Because you know, like a woman, like men talk a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff about sexual prowess, and that's valid. However, every man has been with a woman who is not very easy to figure out, and that it, you know, and there's no, and I don't think that for myself, I don't take any shame in saying that. I'm more of the say, hey, like, you better speak up. If I'm not doing something that pleases you, it sure worked with the other woman. So,
hello.
Either we get on the same page, or I might have my ego stroked by the other woman.
Real talk. I mean, you know what? But, hey, Jackson, now, RK, let me ask you this. I mean, do women think like that as well? Because I'm pretty sure that women think just the same. Like, you know, you may be with somebody, you're like, oh, my goodness, you know, this is just not a Joe Paul treatment. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to go ahead and call Joe. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows how to get it right.
Get that old
know?
Thing back.
Yeah, you heard me?
Get it in. He knows how to get it in. Yes, women do fake it all the time. But I got to say, what they don't realize is that when you fake an orgasm, all you're doing is teaching the guy how to do it wrong.
Well,
don't fake the orgasm.
That's
that
true.
Is so
especially
true.
If you fake
like
it too
and
soon.
And that's a common thing, man. Like, I'm over here sweating like a slave and thinking I'm doing it right. You just faking it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Just faking it to get it over with. Like that's
terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, and plus, you know, guys, hey, gentlemen, there are ways to know if she's lying or not, okay? Just like, you know, just like they can tell if we're lying, you know, I mean, because, you know, that's, you know, women are slick. You know, if a guy starts faking it, like, oh, my goodness, all right, I'm done, all right. Then you get up, and she's like, oh, wait, let me see the condom real quick. Like, what? Wait, huh?
What? Yeah, like, what? What do you need that for?
What do you need that for? Like,
tell the audience, or tell RK about the... The ice cold mouth. Are you familiar with the ice cold mouth?
Which one? With the ice?
No. Like it was always as a younger guy. It was always like my experienced that when a woman had reached that point, her mouth was like almost ice
cold.
I learned as I got older, that was not always the case. That's not always the case for all women. But there would be the moment where you would, you know, kind of lean over towards her, and her mouth was like she had just spit out some ice cubes. You're like, what are you, what's going on over here?
Yeah,
and it
was
at that moment of climax that that occurred.
Yeah.
Oh, how
bizarre. I have never heard that. Tell you. No, all the time. I used to have to change pillows out because I had none but icicles on my pillows. Like, it was bad. And it's hard to go to sleep with, you know, with them icicles on your head. I mean, water everywhere. It's bad, you know. So, I know what you're talking about, Jackson. I get it.
Your bedroom was a virtual winter wonderland, huh?
Yes, it is.
You never experienced that, okay?
Without
being too forward, that's not a symptom of satisfaction for you?
I have never noticed. But you know what? Now I'm going to look. I'm going to make sure that I notice.
But
well, you know, if I have time.
Right. If it comes to mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? I mean,
I hope it does not come to mind.
Well, one thing that I do know that is one thing that, I mean, the eyes rolling back in the head thing, right? Okay.
Okay,
that's
definitely a symbol. That's a good sign right there.
The body shaking, you know, the shake, the uncontrollable shaking of the legs. And
the body tremors, you know, the breathing, being labored, you know the signs. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Speaking of tongues.
There's a list. There's a list. All right, past that, we have too much fun. We have too much fun on Barbershop Conversations. Go ahead, RK. Fire away.
Okay. All right. So did we cover last week already? Who was your celebrity crush?
No.
Because I didn't hear that one. Who is your celebrity crush?
Good Lord. Jackson, do you have one that comes to mind? I mean, there's a lot of them that's nice. You know who I really like? I like Sofia Vergara, man. I really do. You know, and I know a lot of people just hating that I just said that, and it's all good, whatever. You know, but I like her, you know. I like her, you know. Like, oh, this black man don't like black women, you know. No, it's nothing like that at all. I mean, I could have said, let's see, who's on there? That's, nope. And I'm definitely not going to say homegirl from Scandal, you know, even though she is fine. But no, I'm not going to give her props because I don't do Scandal like that. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, if I had to pick a celebrity, I'd say her. I'd say
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, the younger. What's the name of that movie with Antonio Banderas that they were in with Sofia Vergara? Y'all don't remember that movie? Antonio Banderas.
No, talking about the lady from Modern Family, right?
Yeah, her. Yes. About 10 years ago, that's who my crush is.
Back when she was in Big Brother.
Yes, Lord, have mercy on me. Yes, that's a celebrity crush.
I hate you.
What about you, Jackson? You got
If I had to name one off the top of my head, obviously, like, there are a lot of beautiful women. I would say Tika Sumpter. You guys familiar with her?
Tika Sumpter?
No.
Nah. Google searches Tika Sumpter.
Have you ever seen the movie Ride Along with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube?
Oh, I see her. Oh, this your type? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. She's straight up. I didn't even know. Okay. See, I didn't even know this was your type, bro. Okay.
I like them flavorful. But to speak about celebrity crushes, and this is a discussion I've had with women out there in the past, I'm not really big into celebrity crushes. I don't feel like, and this is probably like I'm a bit of a jerk, and I, you know, have probably an overinflated opinion of myself. I don't feel like these women are necessarily out of my realm of opportunity as much as I feel like I just haven't met them.
Well, for sure.
So from that dynamic, I don't necessarily get into celebrity crushes so much, because that would be like if RK and I are dating and she said, well, who is your celebrity crush? And I mean, like a woman who goes to church with us. Like, RK going to feel like, whoa.
Now, Miss Evans.
whoa. You know what I mean? So if my lady tells me, you know, oh, my celebrity crush is Trey Songz, I don't like that because, you know, you could legitimately meet Trey, and I think that the ladies that I date are attractive enough to where he would want to date them. So, like, I that doesn't make
And you know it would go down.
You
know it would go down.
Right.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make me feel comfortable that you said Idris Elba because you don't know Idris Elba today. But didn't you go to like the Soul Train Awards or something like that last year?
Hello,
like, come on, man. Like this is
and
ridiculous.
Didn't you have that
like,
Instagram picture with you and it, with you and Idris saying, you know, oh, met Idris, and didn't you post for like 2 more days after that? Like, what was happening between?
What's going on? That's why I'm not really big on like. You know, sometimes meet people who are couples, and they're very serious couples, and, you know, his lady likes to take pictures with celebrities. Like, whoa, what are we doing here? Like, just because this
man is
rich and famous doesn't mean that's any different than you taking a picture with an attractive man that you saw at the YMCA. I don't need
so
you
weak.
Doing that.
That's
slow
a good
your
point.
Roll. Slow your roll. Cool your loins down a little bit. Just because he's on TV does not give you some kind of automatic pass to feel comfortable like that. I'm
real
thorough.
Talk.
I date thorough ladies. You're thorough by association. So why would he not want to
holler at you?
What happened with you? Right.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you one thing that's a pet peeve for all men, ladies, okay? All men hate this so much. When we may be sitting there watching a football game, and then somebody walks by, and you know, or a football player, and you may know him or may know of him or whatever, and then you say it. You're like, oh, goodness, so that's Jackson Bracey, number 34 for the Lions. Oh, he's so stupid. I'm like, what? Like, how do you even know? How do you even know this guy, you slut? Like, how do you even know this guy? No, but seriously. You know, we don't like that. We don't like when you – not that we're jealous or any of that stuff. It's like no dude wants to – I mean, do you say that around him? Like when you, you –
Wants
know,
to know that his lady lusts for another
exactly.
Your imagination starts running away with you.
Yeah, or even that you know him like that because I know y'all wasn't just cool. I know y'all wasn't just friends. You know what I'm saying? If you know him like that, I'm pretty sure he knows you. So
something
happens. You know, something happens. So if you're like, oh my goodness, I can't stand him. He don't even call people back. Like what? Wait, hold on.
Now see, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point because men, I find that men will not ask questions they don't want to know. But women will ask questions that they don't want to know the answers to, like
that's
about.
Why, that's
you
the
know,
lie, right?
I have. That's definitely something I've heard.
No.
And
go
seen.
Ahead. No, but what? What
okay,
kind?
Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what
like
saying,
RK, like in fairness, and I'm not trying to just toot your horn. RK, you're a nice looking lady. Is there any reason that a man would have to believe that a celebrity man, if given an opportunity, whether he met you, like there's no such thing as attractive people being out of other attractive people's realm of opportunity.
Realm.
It's just about whether or not I can meet you and be in
yeah.
your space. So, you know, don't think for one second that celebrity men don't date general if they happen to meet them and they are attractive. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, just because you might see him on the red carpet with some Victoria's Secret model doesn't mean that this man doesn't, you know, take an opportunity to be intimate with just regular, everyday, attractive women. So
mm-hmm.
given that sort of thought process, there's nothing acceptable or, oh, I'll just give you a pass because it's him. I'm like, no, I don't know. I'm not giving you anything. I'm not, you know, because. Joe, have you ever
mm-hmm.
dated a celebrity lady?
Have I ever dated what?
A woman who would be considered a celebrity.
Who was into celebrities?
Yeah, no. Who
was a celebrity?
Be considered a celebrity of some sorts.
Yes, I have.
Yes,
I have.
And there you go, and so have I. Wasn't she just a regular woman?
She was. I mean, honestly,
so,
absolutely
there
regular.
You go.
Yeah.
So what reason, how does that equate to you not, like, Do you understand where I'm going with this argument?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, how is it okay for you now, just because you see this guy on television, to be like that? One thing I give my father credit for, in all the years that I've been alive, all the years I've been married to my mother, I've never heard him speak favorably to another woman's physical appearance that wasn't in a very tame and sort of paternal sort of way. Like, he had a
mm-hmm.
flight one time years ago with Halle Berry. He said, you know what, she actually is kind of pretty. That's what he said. That's the most he said.
Wow. That's awesome. So because, you know, some dads.
And I think that shows respect for my mother.
Yeah,
that, it does.
You know, he does not flip the channel back when some beautiful woman comes up to you. Ooh, turn it back to her. Like, you know,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I
mean,
I got to tell you, if I've ever seen men do that, that's hugely distasteful. When I've seen, you know, men sitting in front of their wives or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, you know, she's got the best ass ever. Look at her. I'm like,
that's crazy.
That's so distasteful.
And women do it because she's on TV.
Yeah, women do it too now.
I knew a woman who tried to make fun after a basketball player. Like, you know, unbeknownst. So, I mean, people are crazy when they get into this type of stuff.
Yes, they do. They do. We got time for several more questions.
Good point.
Go ahead,
okay,
fire them away.
Okay, what, let's see, I'm going to go with, how do you feel about a woman being cool with her ex?
Mm-hmm. Like, what you mean by cool, exactly? Like,
hanging out,
define,
still talking on the phone.
Gosh.
Yeah,
man, you know,
that's totally unacceptable.
That's, yeah, it's unacceptable. I think, you know, you can't get into one car if you're driving another one. You understand? You can't drive two cars at once, right? So, and you certainly can't be a passenger at two cars either. So, at least not at the same time. So, yeah, you can't continue. You can't start a relationship with me when you're still holding on to something in the past. You know, and I know some women are thinking like, but we're just friends. Yeah, you're just friends, but you've also had sex before. You know what I mean? So that kind of changes things a little bit, in my eyes at least. Like, damn, you know, I mean, would you be okay if I was kicking it with my ex-girlfriends and we were just chilling? Because trust me, we would be having sex. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm keeping it real. Yeah, of course, if I'm hanging my ex.
Oh, all right.
That's what's happening. Of course. That's what's happening. We're not just kicking it because we're homies now. No. No, that's not going to happen. It's not. No. We used to have
that. We're not that good of friends. If we were,
no.
We'd still be.
Exactly. We would still be together if we were that good of friends. Believe me. So, negative. Mm. That's what I have to say about it. Jackson?
This is a tricky thing. Because as you mentioned earlier, Joe, like, people are starting to marry later in life. So you have a very, like, full path, more so than people in other generations. But the one thing, my very first serious girlfriend who I dated in college, we are still friends. But when I'm in a relationship or when she's in a relationship, we do not speak. We might speak very briefly here and there. You know, we speak if, you know, there's something work-related that she can help me with or I can help her with. But at the same time, it's not this, hey, I'm in the city, let's meet up for drinks or anything like that. Or anything outside of that is an interaction where I get a chance to meet her boyfriend or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like she's available to me to speak about relationship stuff with other people and things like that. Like, you know, obviously, we're friends to the point that when she's dating a guy early on, she might speak to me and call me like, hey, what do you think about this? You know, like, well, you know, like, I don't know. He seems like a really nice guy. I think you should give him a shot. Because anytime a woman who I've dated calls me and asks me about relationship stuff, I kind of reluctantly don't want to talk about it. But I'm always very quick to try to take the guy's side in a very, you know, middle of the road kind of manner, like, hey, you know,
give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, give him the benefit. Things happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're not always easy to get along with. I want you to be fair. Blah 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 blah. But you know, I would never give my lady, my current lady, the green light to go out and meet up for drinks with a guy who she's dated, even if y'all are buddy. But there's just a line of respect that should not be crossed. Additionally, because, you know, I wish I could say that I totally didn't care about what other people in this world thought, but I don't. But I do. And, you know, it's not a good look to my peer group, friends, and relatives to know that my current girlfriend hangs out on the weekends with her ex-boyfriend. Like, that makes me look stupid.
Yep.
And this, you know,
That matters to women too. It's humiliating. Nobody wants to look stupid.
Yeah.
So we have about 5 more minutes left before we wrap up the show.
Okay,
so,
I got it. I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
All right. Were you okay? All right. So I heard a statement recently. We've all seen this issue about Bruce Jenner in the news, and now he's Caitlyn Jenner. And I heard a statement recently that said that all men basically have at some point in their lives thought about being a Caitlyn Jenner. Is this true?
Hell no.
Yeah, that's
hell.
That's all white men.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
That's,
we should qualify that a little differently. Anyone who has ever, and I, man, this, and I'm, well, you know what? I'm not going to even miss words. I, as a black man, and having spent extensive parts of my life around white folks in my schooling years, they have a very looseness and openness with their sexuality that black people just don't feel comfortable with. And it doesn't necessarily make us repressed as much as it makes them loose, in my estimation. You know, I can remember being in the locker room in high school and guys grabbing each other's privates and thinking that was funny. You know, it's just like, why would I want to give up what
that's
I have?
That's not funny for the record. That's gay. That's, you know.
Yeah. Why, right. Why, like, but that was kind of commonly what they were doing in the locker room. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, this is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
You really think there's a racial barrier with this question? Because, I mean, there have been transgender people of color for many years.
Well, that's not what you asked, though. I totally believe that there are transgender people, but for you to ask that all men have given consideration to being Caitlyn Jenner, I think that wouldn't apply. I mean, it's never applied to any black man that I've known.
Yeah, I'll answer that in two words, and then we can move on because we're running out of time. But two simple words. Hell no. Okay, I don't know any man, no man that I know have ever thought about, you know, I wonder what it would be like to be a woman. Like, nobody thinks like that. You know, no, that's absurd.
Yeah, I don't know any men that thought that.
No.
Interesting.
So, we got time for one more good question, and then we'll wrap
up. I went totally racial on that answer, but I totally believe that, though.
Yeah.
Like, that could not have been a surveyed question given to black people. It's just my opinion.
Well, which question? Okay. What survey is, right?
Right.
All right, gentlemen. Your last question is about love. And have you ever been in love, and how many times?
Jackson, go ahead, and then I'll wrap the show up.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Damn.
Yeah. Wait. 1, 2,
this is
three, four.
Wow.
I think 4 times. I would say 4 times. Have I had 4 girlfriends or have I had 5? No, I've had 4 serious girlfriends. I would say that I was in love with 4. 4 is the answer. Final answer.
Okay.
4.
All right.
Answer.
Let's see. Yeah. Have I ever been in love? Yes, I have been in love. Yes, I have loved, but I don't think I've ever been in love. I think when you fall in love, finally, it will be the first and last time. I don't think that you can be in love more than once. I think if you love someone, you can love them, but being in love kind of just happens once, because once you fall in love, you can't fall out of love. You might have loved them, you know? You might have really liked them. You might have even lust after them, but you weren't in love with them. What'd you say, RK?
Wow, that's an interesting answer, Joe. That is.
Well, it's my answer. It's my answer, and it's you know, we all know my answers are the right ones. Yeah, no, just kidding.
I like that answer.
I'm totally kidding. But no, we're going to wrap up the show because we are out of time. Can you believe it? Time flies. That is all we have for this episode of Barbershop Conversation. Definitely hope that you enjoyed it, because we enjoyed having it. We do this every single week on behalf of Jackson Bracey, our very special guest, RK Evans, and the big homie, AJ Miller. Get well soon, big homie. I'm Joe Paul. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to check out all of our past shows. They're available to listen and to download at joepaulspeaks.com. Remember, Barbershop Conversations, where no topic is off limits. We'll catch you next time.